one of which was a 14-year-old. The other three that I believe were 16, 17, and 18. But the legal age of consent in Alabama is 16. So legally, he's only in trouble for one of them. He's a creep for all four of them.
He ran a Donald Trump campaign.
Yeah.
He was running against sanctuary cities when there aren't fucking sanctuary cities in Virginia.
What up, world?
Yeah, what up?
Big, blue, beautiful world. Floating in space. Giant rock around the sun. Welcome to the 37th episode of the Ameripodcast. My name is Blake Mangan. Welcome back. I'm sitting here with John Kelly. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Welcome back, everyone. We're glad to be back.
And Launch Center Downtown Studio Pad, Mr. John Anderson. How are you?
Hey, everybody. Sorry for our absence. We had life things to handle.
Nothing's more important than the pod.
That's true. I know. We have failed everybody.
Actually,
and America and Jesus, and we apologize.
There's one. There's one thing
in that order.
There's one thing that's more important, and that would be coffee, which I am consuming right now at approximately 4:09 p.m. Sunday afternoon.
And that was pretty smooth.
Yeah, 2017.
I don't know how you do it, man. I can't drink coffee afternoon.
Oh, I was going to say, come up with that smooth of an intro, or...
Well, I mean, probably that, too. Yeah.
I'm
also drinking coffee.
Damn, both of you guys?
Yeah. I mean, after this, I'm going to be doing some, like, music composition notation stuff, so I got to be,
on point. Yeah, I get it.
So
I got to rock data.
Right. We are missing Tyler again this week, but he'll be back later. He's doing what?
He's on a super secret mission.
Yeah, he's on he's doing shaman work for somebody right now, so he couldn't be here today. But we're going to just to give you guys a little recap of some things that have been going down since we had the last episode of the podcast. I was going to say potted last.
Potted last, since we last spoke.
Since we last spoke to all of you sitting on this rock that's flying through space. So, anyways.
And then we're going to have a year in review on Thursday.
Yeah, coming up this week.
Which will probably be a longer pod.
Yeah, and we're going to start having some guests, too, which will be fun.
So, yeah, stay tuned. Actual, legitimate, like, running for office guests.
And we're going to have women on the podcast. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yes.
Which I'm personally really excited about.
Yeah, yeah. We've needed it since the beginning. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, our demographic's a little... Yeah.
I mean, I have really long hair, but it's not the same.
No.
So today we're going to talk about, in no specific order... Roy Moore, the Texas church shooting, the Democrats' wedding in Virginia and New Jersey, and a little bit of the Manafort indictment. So let's just pick it up with what's going on with Roy Moore. Anybody want to give a little background on this fellow Republican?
Yeah, let's begin with some quotes. Whether asked if he dated teenagers in his 30s, he said, quote, not generally, no. Asked,
what? Not generally. That doesn't mean anything.
Asked a follow-up, he said, I never dated, quote, any girl without the permission of her mother.
Wow.
Which, pro tip, if you have to ask permission of her mother, she's too young.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, cool. So...
we're talking about dating, not, like, marriage.
Well,
yeah, we're talking about...
Here's the thing, is that, for those of you who don't know, Roy Moore is running for Jeff Sessions' seat in Alabama that he vacated when he was made, DA of the United States.
Attorney General.
Attorney General, yep. And he's been accused by multiple four. Women of improper action towards them, one of which was a 14-year-old. The other three that I believe were 16, 17, and 18, but the legal age of consent in Alabama is 16. So legally he's only in trouble for one of them. He's a creep for all four of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mitt Romney said this really well, which is a weird thing for me to say. that he said, innocent until proven guilty is for the court of law, not elections, and we should not vote for this man.
Right, right. Yeah, the court of public opinion is totally different also.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody around the country is going to look at the Republicans in Alabama and go, you got to be kidding me with this one. Mm-hmm. Like,
you cannot let pedophilia be a divisive issue in your party and still be considered a legitimate political party.
Yeah, you lose all.
If you get 100 Democrats together and say, do you think pedophilia is okay? I bet you, unless they're a pedophiliac, they will tell you no. 90 or 100 out of 100 of them. And right now, the Republican Party is having a debate with itself about whether this is okay or not, and that's not okay.
Right, right. And furthermore, Moore refused to openly debate the Democratic candidate because the other guy is pro-abortion. The Democrat is pro-choice, and he's like, it's morally reprehensible that he's pro-choice, so I won't debate him in public.
Mm.
Yeah, I do believe that Roy Moore's brother defended his actions based on the Bible as well.
Yeah.
So, pedophilia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, the Bible says some shit, and we shouldn't pay attention to everything it says, because if we did, there'd be a lot of very upset people. Because, like, you have to – some ridiculous shit where, like, if you wear two different types of clothing, we all need to, you know, stone you in the town square.
Right, or dip you in a pool of blood so you match.
That sounds like Satanism. Yeah. Dip you in a pool of blood. So
that's just the first, if the caffeine is getting my
head. I get it, yeah. But I mean, like, and the thing is that it's like, it wasn't a surprise for many people that worked with him in Alabama. Like, there's aides that have come forward and were just like, yeah, I mean, we knew that he, like, dated high school girls, but we just thought it was kind of weird that he would be going to, like, high school football games all the time.
Yeah, I guess the Washington Post got word of this based on things that his supporters were saying.
Oh, really? That's how it was that's how the story broke?
That's how they got wind of it first. And then I think they started doing some investigating from there.
Yeah, I feel like once you start running for these positions, you got to be pretty clean on your record because it's all going to come out, right? To me, like, you lose all credibility once there's word out that, you know, you are into teenagers and you're – how old was he when he was dating that?
32,
I believe. Yeah, the 14-year-old one, I think he was 32 or 33.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was 32-year-old. It was in 1979.
Yeah.
He, quote, kissed her and touched her on multiple separate occasions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it started out when he was, like, supposed to be watching her because her mother was on trial or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he befriended her in court or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And then you don't even want to debate abortion. Dude, you got brain damage.
Well, and I think this also goes to the lack of due diligence on the part of Republicans. Although, I mean... We did have what was that fucking guy's name in Missouri who talked about legitimate rape? It would be good to see the Republican Party weed these people out themselves. Like, these people should not get this far.
Yeah.
And the fact that they keep doing it, I think, shows a real problem in that party. However, the president has been accused of sexual assault by at least 12 women. Mm-hmm. And that's
misconduct
something
by more too.
Yeah.
Yes. And that is still something hanging out there in this climate of Weinstein and Louis C.K.
Yeah, right.
And,
oh yeah.
Kevin rebellious. Spacey and.
You're right. So on and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot out there. It's super disappointing because you see people, I see people on the right-hand side of the spectrum politically that are like, see, Hollywood's filled with pedophiles and sick people. They're the problem, right? And it's totally deflecting about any internal conversation they should be having about people in their own party.
Right.
It's like, it's looking at it and go, see, there's more people on that side doing it, so we don't really need to have that conversation internally.
And yeah. The thing, honestly, that is, I think, most disturbing to me in the, I mean, like, obviously what is happening with these men is fucking horrible and disturbing, but it is extremely disturbing to me that it seems like partisanship is stronger than, like, your abhorrence about pedophilia,
yeah,
your abhorrence about sexual assault.
Totally.
It's like, this is not a partisan issue.
Yeah.
We
it's
should
wrong
all
no matter what side you're on.
Exactly.
Wrong.
And right. The fact that we, like, have, you know, people being like, oh, well, you know, Donald Trump's not bad because Bill Clinton is, like, no, they're all bad. They're all fucking scumbags, and we should all get our pitchforks and torches out with these guys. Like, it's not a fucking partisan issue, and the fact that it is becoming a partisan issue, I think, bodes really badly for the future of this country, because if we can't agree that pedophilia is wrong, we can't agree on fucking anything.
I mean, I wish I could say I'm surprised by this, but when you have a president like Donald Trump, who's supposed to be the, you know, one of the main role models in the United States as a president, right? People are supposed to look up to their president, whether that's within their work ethic and disciplines or their moral standards and whatever codes. Mm-hmm. So, like, once you have somebody like this fool get into office and is your president, that just lowers the bar for everybody else, and then it becomes more accepting. Right. And it's, I think we're already, like, three steps into this really nasty, really nasty.
It shows little boys that, like, you can assault women and be president. And,
right.
Like, that's not something we should be teaching our young people.
Oh.
These things have long-term implications that we're going to be dealing with for probably decades to come, and it just makes me fucking angry.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to continue to deal with this, much less the fact that, like, people I care about in my life have to deal with this in such a more visceral way. It's
sure.
So fucking horrible. And I wish that we all as a country could agree that Roy Moore is a fuckhead and send him off to some fucking desert island to die by himself.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Can we bring back banishment? I feel like banishment, if we're going to go fucking biblical, let's just go all the way and bring back banishment.
You're banished.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, sorry, Roy Moore. We're kicking you out of the election. You're banned from He's like, what? Am I banned from electoral politics? No, you're banished.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're banned from America, man.
Yeah, no. You're
travel
banished.
Bans on you.
Yeah.
Turns
yep,
out.
Travel ban.
We could just, like, send him off to some fucking ho-dunk island in, like, Canada somewhere where it's cold and icy, and he gets killed by a polar bear
set him
running
adrift.
Away from climate change.
Yeah, set him adrift on a fucking raft. Bye.
Oh, dude, that's a good one. And then we can shoot flaming arrows at him.
Okay, we're just supposed to banish him, all right? Not like potentially kill
him. Yeah, John.
Oh, sorry. Right. I haven't read my Bible in a while. I forgot exactly the procedure.
I don't think flaming arrows are there. Certainly stones are. Stoning stuff.
There's no, I don't know. There's no flaming arrows in the Bible.
Probably. I don't know. I'm no expert.
I haven't had my Spark Notes Bible review in a while. So, but anyways, moving on to an even
speaking of shooting things.
Yeah.
Right.
Moving on to an even or just as bad, I should say, is
it's laterally is terrible.
Right. Just in a different way, but in Texas. There was a shooting. I keep getting this name mixed up. The town that the shooting was in with San Antonio, but it wasn't.
No, it was outside of somewhere.
What was there, like 16?
26
deaths.
The same amount as Sandy Hook.
Yeah, correct. The majority of which I think were children.
I don't think so.
Well, there was a shooting in Texas at a church, and 26 people were killed. And the guy who did it was an ex-military. He was young, right? Wasn't he like 26?
Yeah, he's relatively young. should not have had access to firearms. There was a bureaucratic mistake.
There's like a military issue. Like he had some incident happen, right?
Yeah, several incidences happened, and he should have been reported and was not.
Right. Because he was in the military. He was discharged, right?
Yes. Not dishonorably, but some version of dishonorably. It did not end well.
Right. He got kicked out. Is what that means. So another example of somebody who obviously was not sound mentally and had firearms when they shouldn't have and went and shot up a place that was, I guess, totally random. Did he have any connection to this spot?
Yes, yeah. His mother-in-law, it was a domestic dispute, and his mother-in-law was there.
Oh, really?
Was she Was she the pastor?
I don't know.
I think I read somewhere she was the pastor of the church, too, but that could be wrong. I might just be pulling that out. Sorry, listeners, I'm not completely up to date.
Me neither.
We're still getting back in the swing of things.
Yeah,
but I will say that it's continual heartbreak, it seems, on these issues. And you know, there has to be some way that we can make it better in this country. The gun debate is absolutely toxic right now. It's so sad to see it happen anywhere.
I gotta say, like, I am finding it harder and harder to like when people are like, this is a tragedy and my heart is broken and stuff. I'm just so fucking angry at this point. Like, I can't even feel sadness about it anymore. I just feel an extreme amount of frustration.
Sure.
And anger. My sadness meter was broken after Newtown. The fact that 20 kids could get murdered in their school and ostensibly the greatest country in the world, the country that always goes out and solves problems and takes action, did nothing. Literally, the only actions that were taken after Newtown was to expand access to weapons. That, to me, like, we're lost as a country. We're fucking lost. And we have to figure out some way to fix this problem, and we're nowhere fucking close, and it is awful. Like, I don't have adjectives to express how fucking angry and frustrated I am about this. We should be able to do something about this, and we can literally do fucking nothing, and it is awful.
Yeah.
No other equivalent country has this problem. Why is it that we have this problem? Because we have a ton of fucking guns in this country. That's the issue. And we need to pass sensible legislation to fix this problem. Mm-hmm. And we're so fucking far away from that because of partisanship and because of money and lobbying and the fucking NRA being a fascist organization now. Well, and it is so fucking frustrating. We should not be as angry. The gun control
advocates
have to be
though.
As angry as the people who are pro-guns. It will not be fixed.
But it's not just a gun problem, though. Like, we have some serious mental health problems in this country, too.
I agree, but no other country, every other country has the same amount of mental health issues as we do, or relatively the same amount of mental health issues as we do, and this doesn't happen in other countries. Hmm. And people will say, well, they're going to find like an axe and go hack people apart. Sure, but they're not going to kill 59 people at a concert in Vegas and wound 500 other people. Like, if your family member is the 59th person killed, you can't go up to that person and be like, oh, well, you know, they would have had access to weapons anyway. It's like, really? They're going to kill them with a fucking knife? I don't think so. And so, yes, we have to deal with mental health in this country as well, but it is a gun problem.
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of firearms.
We have, like, some insanely high percentage.
It's like seven for every human in the United States or something like that.
I think there's more guns than there are people in the United States.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like seven for every person or something.
Yeah.
It's absolutely...
It's high, but you run into statistical problems across the board with a lot of the gun statistics. I mean, the majority of guns are owned by a very small amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
And most people that own guns have like one handgun or something, right? And most people are responsible gun owners. And so this is where you run into the problems of, you know, the Second Amendment and the power of the NRA in terms of lobbying, which I think you touched on, John, and I just want to touch on real quick, which is, you know, an institutional problem in Washington with the amount of money that an organization that really represents maybe 10 to 15% of the actual public, like the true opinion of maybe that amount of the public, can have that type of power is a problem with our democracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even believe that. Like, if you look at polling data, it's something like 90% of NRA members believe that there should be background checks. I don't think
there are background checks in almost every instance. Where it doesn't come down to it is that, like, private gun ownership, like gifts to people and certain gun shows. Mm-hmm. But I mean, background checks are like, happen in like 90% of legal transactions.
But the NRA is not for background checks, is my understanding. And they don't, their constituency, the people who actually like are members, believe that there should be in all instances background checks. And so I don't believe that the NRA represents American people. I believe the NRA represents American gun manufacturers.
Sure.
I think that's a legitimate argument when you follow the money and the amount of donations that they
get. Absolutely. I mean, they're the ones that are responsible for every time somebody tries to get funding from the government on like gun research and pulling data and statistics, right? Isn't the NRA the one in the group in there lobbying against it?
Yeah.
Also, if you have not done this yet, Google NRA ad. I'm sure it'll be the first one that comes up. It's just this woman with dark hair speaking for like a minute. And you will watch it and you'll be like, okay, this is not real. This is definitely a parody of something. It's real. It's the most fascist thing that I've seen during the Trump administration, which is fucking saying something. And it is disturbing.
It is disturbing.
And what's so disturbing about it is that they call every other group that's against them fascists, mm-hmm. which is just not true. That's not what a fascist is. And it's helped propel the entire idea on the right that groups like Antifa are fascist groups when they're not.
Right.
Because the people who are driving that narrative know that their base don't know the difference. And so they can spout that type of nonsense with impunity. Mm-hmm. And don't let it happen because it's just not true. Antifa is definitely not a fucking fascist group.
That is some ignorance right there. It's ignorant.
Yes, sir.
That's ignorant.
And there's plenty of things that we can do. Like this argument of people are like, well, you're never going to get all the guns off the streets. Like, sure, but we can get some of them and we can reduce the carnage. One thing we should do is we should tax the fuck out of bullets. Bullets should be like $100 a bullet, mm-hmm. unless you are like at a gun range or something like that. There are sensible things that we can do to reduce the carnage, and that's something that we have to do. If we're going to reorient the most powerful, by magnitudes, defense, our army is the most powerful army in the fucking world, in the history of the world, by magnitudes, and we have reoriented that entire apparatus to fight like 12 dudes in a cave. And if we are willing to do that much to go after terrorism, we should be absolutely losing our minds about gun violence in this country. Because if you look at the statistics, people die by like 1,000x more from Americans with guns than they do from terrorists. Mm-hmm. It's out of control, and we have to get our priorities straight.
Yep.
We're capable of doing this. and we need to do it, or it's just gonna be over and over and over and over again. This is speeding up, it's not slowing down, and it will continue to speed up until we have policy solutions.
Yeah. Well, and we're not going to get policy solutions until we figure out the whole money swamp corruption bullshit. So,
and we need to make sure that Democrats get elected and we support them in their seeking to pass gun legislation. And we had some hope in that this week in Virginia.
We did. Virginia and New Jersey.
Yes. We elected a Democratic governor in Virginia. The really good news in Virginia was how we did in the House of Delegates. I believe we picked up 15 seats in the House of Delegates, which is remarkable. The most delegates we've picked up since 1899, when, like, to say that those Democrats were actually Democrats today is just ludicrous.
Right, yeah, they were Republicans in today's standards.
Exactly. but, you know, facts. So that is heartening. And the thing that I am really happy about is Ed Gillespie, who is the Republican candidate, who, by the way, is like the swampiest of swamp monsters. He was the Republican committee chair, I believe. Yep. He worked in the Bush administration. He was a extremely powerful lobbyist. He is the swamp monster that Donald Trump was talking about. He ran on a Donald Trump Trump campaign.
Yeah.
He was running against sanctuary cities when there aren't fucking sanctuary cities in Virginia.
Yep.
And so it's really a good thing that he lost, because if he had won, every Republican in the country would be running a Trump campaign. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that my blood pressure can handle that.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly the political climate right now. Trump's approval rating is going down and down and down. I think it's currently sitting in the mid 30s right now.
But
it's still at like 78% of Republicans. So until it gets lower in the Republican Party itself, most candidates are going to sit there and go, all right, that it has to be in the back of their head. It's a question they have to ask themselves. Do I run a Trump campaign? Do I stand up and say, no, I'm not with the president? Or, I absolutely, hand and foot. There's a lot more going on there in terms of available, like, even just policy discussions you can have with that style of running of a campaign. Because that's more based on blaming the other people and being strong about two messages than it is about having legitimate conversations about how to improve areas and improve communities.
I feel like you're not having a policy disagreement at that point. You're having a cultural disagreement. They're totally
running on culture, and they're totally running on people's fears about changing culture. I mean,
I think that is a betrayal of what makes America great.
The culture wars have been a real thing in this country since the 60s. You know, there's been backlash, serious backlash against the type of what's really now the foundation of the Democratic Party, because we are the party of every other culture besides white male culture,
right.
White Christian culture, I should say too. But, you know, it's what one reason the Republicans are so strong and they get so many people to vote is because there are those inherent fears from people about changing cultures. And I agree that it's important and it's healthy and it has what made America so great. But, you know, there's legitimate fears on the right side that we as Democrats need to address in terms of what the culture war has done dividing people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and we're getting close to our half hour mark here, but should we wrap up real quick on another positive note that Manafort's been indicted?
Yes. I am not a lawyer, but my understanding is that the indictment was very thorough and very professional.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the takeaway, because it's been a little while, so we should just probably do a little bit of a recap and we actually have some perspective on this.
Sure.
The takeaway of the recent Russia revelations is not the it has to be taken with Papadopoulos, mm-hmm. who was the other. It came out that Papadopoulos, who was a foreign policy advisor in the Trump campaign, has already pled guilty to lying to the FBI. The FBI turned him, and now he is a cooperating party. Mm-hmm. In this, it needs to be juxtaposed. So he pled guilty to a relatively low-level crime and is now working with the FBI. Paul Manafort got beaten by a shovel, or the legal equivalent of, by the Mueller investigation. That is a signal to everybody involved in this that either cooperate or we're coming for you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think, is the biggest takeaway. We now, in the last week, saw that Mueller likely has enough to indict Flynn, Michael Flynn, and Michael Flynn's son. They're likely trying to flip them right now, and that's why we haven't seen an indictment. They are trying to – so I forget his first name, but this Gulen guy, who is a Turkish national and has been accused by Erdogan of being involved in the recent coup in Turkey. Erdogan wanted him sent over to Turkey, and we haven't done it yet. My understanding is that there's a good amount of evidence that Flynn was plotting to kidnap Gulen and bring him back to Turkey.
No.
So we could be sure. getting quid Flynn. Pro quo.
He was like, he's getting like offers of money to do it.
Lots. Like, and so that is – it looks like Flynn could be facing conspiracy to kidnap charges, which is like a real fucking crime. That's right. Not like I hid money in the Cayman Islands crime. That's like real fucking crime. Yeah. So
– and of course, that may not have anything to do with Donald Trump. Specifically,
sure,
but it's just the type of people he was choosing to surround himself with.
No, because this is where it becomes interesting. Is even if there was zero conspiracy or collusion with Donald Trump and Russia, even if Flynn didn't do anything wrong, Donald Trump still called James Comey and said, "Hey, can you drop the Flynn investigation?" Which, taken in totality with his other actions, like firing James Comey, could be obstruction of justice.
Could be.
So even if all of this is bullshit, he could still be guilty of obstruction of justice.
True. Wow.
Lots of stuff going on. It's going to be great.
It's just
the year in review is going to be great.
This is
like, it's going to be exhausting. Robert, can you imagine Mueller? Trying to make a movie about this? You'd have to make like a 7-season show.
Come on, we know someone's already starting. Hollywood's already starting the movie or the TV show. We know it.
It's going to be great 60 years from now when Robot Ken Burns makes a documentary about it.
Or it's going to be like that old school Gettysburg documentary.
That's what he's talking about. Kelly, Robot Ken Burns. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's
great.
We should make T-shirts of that.
Robert Mueller's like the dad, and all these fuckheads are like the children. And he's like, slap on the wrist. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, come on.
Yeah. Well, I like the fact that he's taking his time and doing it professionally.
Absolutely.
Sprinting forward with something to accuse a sitting president and staff members of something so high as what we've been talking about could mean some pretty serious stuff.
Oh, yeah.
If there was actual collusion with the Russians. But
you got to be right.
You have to be right. And, we said it from the start when they hired Mueller that, he's really thoughtful. He's really respected in the community.
He's a class act.
And so, I think he's going to do a good job getting everybody for everything they did wrong during the campaign.
I wonder what Mueller's security is like.
I don't know.
I wonder what?
I don't know.
What Robert Mueller's security is like.
Because that's a good question.
I mean, we've all listened to like interviews of different not lawyers, but like judges with their own like security team because they've gotten threats for this or that. This is like one of the biggest cases you could have right now in the United States.
I think people on the right aren't as concerned about it as they should be. And people on the left may be putting a little bit too much faith into it, that it's going to come out as something really negative against Trump. But I will say, sorry, go ahead, John.
I totally agree, dude. Like, this, I had, I think multiple people tell me that it was, Trump was going to be fine because the Constitution. And I was like, okay, you understand works, that yeah. The Constitution is a fucking piece of paper that you can light on fire. And the only reason the Constitution has power is because we all agree that it has power. And as soon as we stop agreeing that it has power, it's a fucking piece of paper. And so right. When Robert Mueller comes out and says, oh, yeah, by the way, like there was a bunch of collusion with Russia, that's not a crime. It's a political crime. And so there will have to be no matter what happens with Mueller, there will have to be an impeachment. And so it does not matter. The Mueller investigation does not matter except for setting the chessboard of the 2018 election and the entire ballgame.
Yep.
Yep, for Democrats
exactly. Yep.
And for dealing with Donald Trump is winning in 2018 so that we can get fucking subpoena power so that we can start impeachment proceedings against a terrible, terrible mistake that this country has made. And nothing short of that is going to fix this problem.
Right. 100%. And then proceed.
That's a nice little civic lesson for you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And then proceed Boom. Down the decades long path of reversing all the bullshit that's ensued.
Yeah. I cannot describe to you how fucking angry I am about the fact that Donald Trump and the consequences of Donald Trump are going to be in my political life for probably the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it'll never go away. If he's impeached, it'll be in history books. If he's not impeached, it's in history books. It's history now. It's American history now that he's been elected. So it's never going to go away.
So bitter about that.
Can I just say one more
so bad.
Before, because I know we said we were only going to take a half hour, we're a little past it. But in terms of this Mueller investigation and everything, the other thing that I think people should be growingly concerned about, and it's something that we've talked about and has been present with Trump since he's been elected, but it's his total disregard of the security community and trusting other people in Washington. I mean, he came out again this week after meeting with Putin and said that he doesn't believe that there was any Russian interference when the CIA and FBI has come out multiple times and said there absolutely was. And so, you know, even the people that are strong supporters of our military and as America as a strong dominant force should be concerned about that.
Yeah.
Because undermining our security community is a horrible thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
I 100% agree. Mm-hmm. It is un-American that Donald Trump is siding with a foreign adversary over our own intelligence agencies.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I never thought I'd see anything like that.
Yeah.
Never.
No, me neither. Like and the this is how I fucking know. I mean, like, I don't know by a legal standard that there's some goddamn shenanigans going on with Trump and Putin, but here's how I know that they're
giving each other hand jobs, obviously.
So Donald Trump is the most domineering person I have ever encountered. He has this ego tick where he has to be the man, he has to be in charge, he has to win at everything, and he's a fucking submissive lapdog when it comes to Putin. He rolls over on his stomach and is like, or on his back and is like, pet my belly. And that, to me, is the only indication that you need that Donald Trump and Putin are up to some fucking shit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
there's no doubt in my mind that there is some serious shenanigans going on with that reason alone.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you look at the Asian trip in general, and I mean, besides President Abe in Japan, Trump has been very, very derisive to other Asian leaders, including the president of China. And he said great things about him when he's there. So it's actually, I think it's a really interesting personality tick that we can get into later. But it seems like when Trump's face to face with people, he likes to be the I'm very likable guy and play diplomat, play I'm the best person at the table, but I make deals. And then when he's away from people, he just tears them apart. Which is an interesting way to do diplomacy. I don't think we've ever seen a president act that way.
It's also very interesting that he seems to get along best with dictators and along worst with democratic leaders.
Right.
Maybe we should take note of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not interesting. It's kind of scary.
It's horrifying. We live in a very dangerous time right now. We live in a slow motion crisis, and we cannot get used to it because we're going to be the frog that dies in boiling water if we do get used to it.
Yeah.
It's hard to stay outraged, America, but we have to stay outraged. We have to do it. Keep being mad. Keep being angry. And we're going to win in 2018, as Virginia and New Jersey showed us. And then we're going to actually fix some problems in this country, like the fact that our president's a fascist and we have a serious gun addiction. We can do this, but we have to win the House in 2018.
And I would just like to say, as my ending comment, that if deals were pancakes, Trump wouldn't even know how to make the batter. So on that note,
mic drop.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. We will catch you on the next revolution around the sun. I don't know.
Seven.
And a couple more spins of our axis. We'll catch you.
Yeah, because around the sun is a year.
Right.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. You need more coffee, Blake.
I don't know.
Science.
Hey. Speaking of which, we're about to hit our 1 year anniversary. But
fuck you, Fluffy.
Right, so get us if you want to see something different, dear listeners.
Yeah, let us know. We've started to get some feedback. Shout out to Emily Van Gulik, who messaged us the other day. Thank you for doing that. We really appreciate we appreciate the encouragement and the feedback. It legitimately means a lot to us. So we want to hear from you guys. Also, leave a review if you're so kind and have the time.
Even if it's bad. We'll do
even if it's bad at this point, we can just use sub. So let us know. Keep engaging with us. We apologize for our absence, but we're going to get back on routine now. And we'll have a nice little year in review for y'all on Thursday.
Well, I guess it'll
be Friday.
I realize that my jokes aren't great, but I'm really trying, guys. So.
That was a good one.
There you go.
I'm serious.
Yep.
All right, we should get out of here.
Okay, we've gone off the rails. Godspeed, everybody.
If deals were pancakes, Trump wouldn't even know how to make the batter.